Good morning. My name is Avril, and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. This is a very frightening and difficult time for the world and for the community, and I hope that this service will offer you comfort as you participate in it, however you choose to do that. The church building may be closed, but the church community continues to gather as we worship God together. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community, represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find this to be a safe place in which you can grow in God's love and the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and its diverse communities. I have a notice. The notice is, we are very sorry. We were hoping to record some music with this service, but under the current social isolation rules, only two people can be in the worship space during the recording of the service. You can't see it, but there is literally only two people here, me at the lectern and Jan at the recording desk. And neither of us is going to sing for you, we're sorry. So there will be no music here. After Easter, we're hoping to be able to cut and paste music into services. But in the meantime, if you have access to the internet, you might like to explore the music for Lent, chosen by Catherine McLean, a chorister at Wesley Uniting Church in Lonsdale Street in Melbourne. And the links for that are on the website. Today is the day we celebrate as Palm Sunday, although, as I like to remind people, only John mentions palm branches in his telling of the story. And in the Gospel according to Luke, if you go and look at that, there's no mention of any branches at all. So really, we should be celebrating Cloak Sunday. But what all four Gospels do agree on is that on this day, Jesus enters Jerusalem in triumph with crowds shouting praises. It's an act of political street theatre. Jesus is parodying a Roman triumph in which a successful general would ride in a four-horse chariot through the streets of Rome, surrounded by his army, his captives, and the spoils of his war. This is what Rome thought a victor looked like. Jesus is to show them a different sort of victory. As I said last week, we often start worship with a prayer of confession in order to clean our hearts and our minds and then worship God with clean hands. So let us bring our confession to God. Let us pray. Loving God, today we remember that going up to Jerusalem cost Jesus his life. In a world of political violence and empire, he offered a new way of peace and humility and love and truth. But the world rejected this new way, and so Jesus died. Forgive us for the times when we too reject Jesus' way, instead living out the world's ways of violence and pride and hate and lies, refusing to love others as you love us. Forgive us for the times when we use our faith to reject others because their way of faith is different to ours, rather than welcoming them as fellow members of the crowd praising Jesus. Forgive us for the times when, like the crowd that celebrated Jesus on Palm Sunday, we turn our backs on him on Good Friday, and through our rejection of the least of these, shout instead, "Crucify him." Turn us around again, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, active within and among us. Show us how to live new lives of faithfulness and freedom, rejoicing and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven. Amen. On this day of all days, we remember that our God steadfastly goes towards costly death out of love for us. On this day, as on every day, grace is offered to us all, and we are forgiven. Praise be to you, Jesus Christ. The Gospel reading today comes from the Gospel according to Matthew from the 21st chapter, beginning at verse 1. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. The picture book I'm reading today is called The Colt and the King by Marnie McGee, illustrated by John Winch. "I," said the donkey, "am old, but still I remember a day long ago when I was just a colt. Spring had come to my hillside, the time when lilies bloom and sheep give birth to their lambs. My owner took me away that day down to the village gate. We waited there till strangers came, men who said they needed a colt, one that had never been ridden. My owner sent me with them. I pulled hard against my rope, but the strangers' hands were strong. I had to follow where they led. We walked through the twisting streets, where shouts and the rumble of wagons drowned out the song of the doves and robbed the wind of its sound. We came at last to a place where olives grew. A noisy crowd had gathered there. They swarmed like bees on ripened figs. I bared my teeth. My grey coat twitched. My neck grew tight with fear. In the midst of it all stood a man. The strangers called him Jesus, but many called him King. Jesus saw me tremble. He came and stood beside me, his hand upon my back. In his voice was a river of quiet, in his touch a shelter of peace. And my fear flew away like a bird set free. The people cut branches of palm and waved them in the air. They tossed their cloaks upon the path. Then they lifted Jesus up to set him on my back. They danced and sang as we walked. "Blessed is he who comes to save us. Blessed is he who rides triumphant on a colt." Although his legs hung long at my sides, Jesus did not feel heavy to me. Happiness made my hooves tap high, and joy was in my breath. My heart welled up with wonder, like a barrel that fills with rain, and I knew that truly I carried a king. Yet how I longed to take him away, far from that worrisome crowd. I longed to take him home to my hillside. There I would share my friends with him, the mooing cow, the chuckling hen, the lizard, the cricket, the crow. I've not seen Jesus since that day, but still, even now, my long ears prick, listening for his voice. I know that someday he will come, and I will share my straw with him. I will soften it with my hooves, so he can lie down to rest. My hillside will be a throne for him, and at night the stars will weave him a crown. The end. It's going to be a very different Palm Sunday this year for many of us. For years, Palm Sunday has been the day on which churches and community groups have taken to the streets, protesting injustice and calling for justice and peace. And the reason we do that on Palm Sunday is because Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem is an act of political street theatre. What Jesus is doing by his entrance is acting out a parable. He carefully stage manages his entry to show the people what sort of Messiah he is. The prophecy from the book of Zechariah of the king's triumph over the nations that Matthew quotes in his telling is the part that Matthew quotes, comes from chapter 9, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. This is the prophecy that Jesus is fulfilling, but he's fulfilling it in his own particular way, rather than entering triumphant and victorious, having cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. Jesus enters gently and peacefully. He does enter the city as its ruler to acclamation, but he also enters it humbly, not as a warrior. He's subverting the Jewish expectations of what the Messiah would be. But it's not only the Jewish expectations that Jesus is subverting here. His entrance, his acted parable, is also a parody of a Roman imperial procession with its war chariots and blaring trumpets, its great generals and accompanying slaves. Here we see instead the true king showing an alternate vision to the Pax Romana, a different way of exercising power with humility and gentleness. As the crowds respond to this vision, it's no wonder that the powers that be, both Jewish and Roman, are threatened. Jesus is going to die on the cross as the king of the Jews, and the excitement of Palm Sunday makes his royal status public. The son of David, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, is entering the city of David, and joy and jubilation are greeting him. But the only throne he will find in royal David's city will be the cross. The city that welcomes him today will refuse to accept Jesus as king. The crowds will turn. From crying out, Hosanna, they will call out, let him be crucified. Even at this triumphant entrance, there are hints that all will not be well. Matthew tells us that the whole city was in turmoil, and the word he uses means stirred or shaken, as by an earthquake. What does this all mean for us so many years later? It means still that we have only one king, only one ruler over our lives, and that is Jesus. Neither Rome, the civil secular power, nor the temple, the religious power, can tell us what to do if what they tell us is contrary to the way of Jesus. And this is why Palm Sunday has long been a day for peace marches, and more recently marches calling for justice for refugees. We can't do that physically this year, but if you go to the church's website or its Facebook page, you'll find links to the virtual Palm Sunday Walk for Justice for Refugees. Palm Sunday reminds us that Jesus is our King, and that our King told us to welcome the stranger. So let's celebrate Palm Sunday by doing that. I invite you to pray with me the prayer for the time of COVID that we prayed last week. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness that we will need in the weeks ahead. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those still working in the community through this crisis, all the medical staff, the emergency service workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, and those who must find new ways of working from home. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, for whom self-isolation will be almost impossible, and for those whose homes are not safe places and who will face domestic violence during this time. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton, and we pray for all those who must make the difficult decisions to keep us safe. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother, and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God bless the sun that is above us, the earth that is beneath us, the day that lies before us, your image deep within us. Amen.